Recorded live at the wonderful Big Sushi Studio, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Slaughter Film.
Hello, you filthy animals. I am Corey. They're all gonna laugh at you, Carr. And I'm accompanied, as always, by Forrest. Gonna eat your brains to gain your knowledge, Taylor. And this is Slaughter Film, the weekly podcast devoted to reviewing the films that are legendary, even in hell.
And, of course, joining us always is our fabulous producer, John Linvay.
Oh, hey!
Fabulous!
hey, what's the gay horse say?
I don't know.
Hey!
Oh, dear. Well, we have some movies
Somebody's
apparently
going
for you.
To the glue factory.
No, not me. I'm not a real horse. That was just a joke.
Oh. So I was informed that we're going to be reviewing movies today. So Corey is doing Carrie, the original, I'm going to assume,
yes.
Right? Okay, not the made-for-TV movie.
No.
And
or
I'm,
the musical.
There's like multiple Carries,
there's
though.
A ton of Carries. There's The Rage, Carrie 2, yeah. Not that one either,
no.
I'm guessing.
Well, wasn't there a recent release that was just called Carrie as well?
It's coming out.
Yeah, it's a remake.
Yeah, a little later this month, this year. Not this month. But, yeah, it's a remake. At first, I heard they're remaking, I'm like, why? And then I heard who was playing the lead. Grace Montelzone, what's her name? She played Hit Girl.
Oh, okay.
And so she was going to be in it. I'm like, but she got such a big head. I don't like this even more now. But I saw a couple stills of her, like, in the prom gown covered in blood. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy it.
All right. And I'm going to be reviewing the 2008 Canadian zombie flick Pontypool, which is the most difficult movie to explain to people because no one knows what the fuck that means.
Pontypool?
Yeah. It's the name of a town. That's all it means. It doesn't have, like, some special meaning or anything like that.
All right. Fair enough.
But before that, I know that you have a very interesting story to tell you about your clothing shopping adventures.
Part two of a continuing series.
Well, you see how, like, last week, I expressed my rage, pure unadulterated rage for clothes shopping.
Was that last week?
That was last week, yeah.
Wow, it feels like forever ago. Oh.
Well, you know, my rage is eternal. And so... trying clothes on is fucking dumb. It's important to accurately, you know, find something that fits and whatever.
Uh-huh.
But so this week, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go buy some pants because I wear clothes until they fucking disintegrate off my body. And I need some pants. And I like to get bootcut pants.
Do you wear boots?
Yes, for work.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's why you like them.
Well, that, but I'm like, even when I'm not wearing boots, like, I wear them for work, but then I'm wearing them now, and I just wore sneakers, because, I don't know, I'm kind of lanky, so I like how they fit and shit. They hang over my shoes, and, okay. So, I went to JCPenney's. Uh-huh. I bought the pants that I'm wearing now, the pants that I like, at JCPenney's months ago. I got Arizona jeans, boot cut, right? I found my size.
Okay.
I see boot cut. I buy two pair, I bring them home, the next day I try to put one on, and the thought, like, the measurements are correct. I bought the right thing, I swear.
All right.
Right.
The thighs were so tight that, not to say I would feel uncomfortable if I put my wallet or phone in my pockets, they wouldn't fit in the pockets. And so I'm like, what the fuck did I buy?
Maybe you put on some... Maybe you put on a few pounds.
Overnight?
Well, no, because, like, I mean, your older jeans, like, as you wear them, like, they slack out. Like,
well, that's fair, but that's not what happened.
I recently educated myself on a lot of denim knowledge because I
should have talked to you first.
And no, I've had similar issues with buying jeans because it can be a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
Totally. I totally sympathize with that.
Well, so I took these pants back and I returned them, and now I'm standing at, like, the wall, the rack that takes up the entire wall of denim, and I'm looking. And apparently what I own is boot cut.
Right.
What they sell is original boot cut.
Right.
Doesn't original come first? Like, isn't that, like, the most generic but no. Arizona Jeans took all their different jean types and made them skinny because skinny pants are in.
Right.
So now I bought boot cut pants that are skinny and they don't fit over my fucking boots. negating the fact that they're fucking boot cut.
Well, your first problem is that you're going with Arizona jeans. Don't buy their jeans.
Well, I did that just because, like, I already own some, and they right. seem to work fine until they, yeah, you know, yeah. change shit up.
Well, no, from what I, I've done a little bit of research on this topic. Is I've looked into it, and basically, like Levi's 501, right? It's a standard cut jean that they've been making for like fucking 50 years.
Right, they're like the original,
right? And they will fuck with it, the pattern a little bit, but nothing too drastic, like and stuff like that. And what I've done is I've gone to the Levi's section because there's like 505s and like there's boot cut.
Yeah, they're all like numbered.
Yeah, they're all numbered, but it's a lot easier to like have a number. Right, then original boot cut or something right. fucking dumb like that. Right. You know, it's like, oh, I know I wear 501s. And so I've done the research and I picked up and I've started only buying Levi's just because I know how to care for them and like I know that they fit me the right way. And so these are my two tips for denim purchasing, for purchasing denim. So the first thing is when you buy them new, like they're not going to feel great. They're going to feel a little off. What you need to do is you need to wash them, but you don't like wash them in your washer dryer. Like you fill up your bathtub with cold or hot water and like some Woolite and let it just soak in there for like an hour and then let them air dry. Don't ever dry your jeans in the dryer.
All right.
And then, and the reason why that is because when you dry the fibers actually will like, they'll shrink together and that's why they get really tight. You ever wear jeans after the dry and like the fucking feel like your package is huge?
Like you're like, wait, I didn't buy high waters lately.
Right, yeah, yeah. And so you never. And then the other trick is wash them only when they start to stink. Like don't wash them regularly. Only wash them like when you really have to. Like where your girlfriend's like, those things reek. You're like, fine, I'll wash them.
Well, at least I'm doing that right because I'm a dirtbag.
Well, no, because like denim is they like I think they call it like a basically like a living organism, like because they breathe, you know, and they'll stretch, and the more you wear them, the more comfortable they'll get because they'll loosen up and they'll conform to your body better.
All right,
this is my limited knowledge though. I've done this and I can say go with the Levi's, find the ones that you like because I know they have boot cuts and they have like because I just go I think I just go with 501s I think is what I went with because they're not like super baggy because I don't like super baggy jeans. I don't like the super tight either because that's
right. Yeah.
You know, well, I want to have kids eventually.
I was telling Forrest earlier that like then you know they have other pant type options and you get loose and stuff. And I'm like, but how big are my pants going to be just to fit over my fucking boots?
What the fuck does loose even mean? Right.
I don't know. I was looking at all the names and it was oh god. I wish I could remember some now, but like. You know, classic loose or whatever. And I'm looking, the same company made out two pants with the same name, but one was slightly different. I'm like, what the fuck is the difference? Right. I mean, without trying on each of them just to experiment, like, why is it that hard?
Well, I mean, that's why, again, this is why I recommend the Levi's, because you'll go there and you'll try them on. And once you find your number, then it's just a matter of, like, ordering what colors you want. And I've actually ordered more pairs of the same size off of Amazon, and they've been great. And you can get a better deal on Amazon that way as well.
I have to do that.
I'm Prime. I'm a Prime member.
All right. Do you turn into a robot?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Well, so after I
need some Energon cubes.
After I left JCPenney's, I just fucking stormed around the mall angry, like in my head making fun of everyone else who was wearing something fashionable, which is fucking dumb.
Did you knock over some kids and make them spill their Dippin' Dots?
I probably would have.
Did you give anyone some chocolate covered pretzels?
No, I actually got pissed and then fucking bought myself a cookie from like Cookie World or whatever the place is called.
Perfect.
I'm like, oh, I'm a grown man and I can do this to feel better.
What are some other good things from Mallrats? I'm trying to remember. What are some other the dumb things they do?
I can't remember. It's been so long since I remember the
chocolate covered pretzels.
Oh yeah,
that's what
that was my week.
Chocolate covered pretzels.
My week, nothing interesting happened until today. My friend just called me to go out hiking with him, and I was like, okay. And I just wore like my regular like old beat up sneakers or whatever because I figured just like tra-la-la, walking through the woods, fun. But
were you
no.
wearing jeans by any chance?
No, I was not wearing jeans, but I should have been wearing jeans. But I forget that when my friends go hiking, they go all out. So like we were scaling like sheer cliffs and shit like that, and everything is still covered with like. The kind of, like, snow that, like, melts a little bit and then becomes, like, a snow-ice, like, slush-mud combination. Yeah. So you're slipping everywhere.
That's the best.
And I was so terrified that I was going to slip and fall and ruin all my clothes and everything because, like, they weren't the best, like, hiking kind of clothes, you know? But I held on, like, the whole time. I never slipped once. I even, like, was, like, foot skiing down a hill for what felt like 5 minutes. Probably wasn't that long, but, like,
it was actually 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, it was longer than that. But I had no traction, and I started, like, just sliding down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't do anything now except just ride this out. So I just, like, yeah. bent my knees and stood there like that, just slid all the way down it. And I was like, oh, cool. We went hiking, and I never slipped and slid once. So cool. And then... on the way here, I was hanging out at my parents' house for some dinner and everything, and I was heading down, like, walking down the hill to get to my car, and I slip in the mud and fall on my ass. And I'm like, God damn it, I go hiking for an hour and a half, and I don't slip once, and then here I am, going to my car, oops, mud in your pants. So, my pants are in the washing machine right now, and I'm wearing my dad's old man pants, so... So that was my week. Fun.
I thought you were going with, like, the TV anchor thing. It was like, so I'm not wearing any pants behind this.
That's what I should have said, yeah.
I would have not have let you in. I would have locked you out.
I could just get, like, the mental picture of Forrest on the porch.
Right.
Boots, pantless. Winter jacket, pants. No pants.
I'm not wearing pants. Film at 11.
Right. I know some people like to think pants are optional. That is not the case in the studio. I'm sorry.
What a square.
Just wait till summer and it's really hot.
Yeah.
We will not be recording here. We'll be recording elsewhere.
Oh, fart.
So, anything interesting with you?
This week? No, I mean, Dead Space. More Dead Space. A lot of it. And oh. Actually, I played through that Batman game. Arkham City.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I started playing it like the other day, and I beat it today. That's a good dude. Batman's got like fucking 99 problems, and actually he's just got a lot of problems,
yes.
And like they don't stop coming. Like the only problem he doesn't have is that he probably has a plan for all those 99 problems. So that 100th yeah. problem he's got it figured out.
He'll send Nightwing.
Oh
yeah,
do that one. Just right. go.
Well, it's so funny because in the game, Robin stops by. Like Robin drops off, yeah. and Batman's like, "Robin, what the fuck are you doing here, Robin? Like, you have Gotham. Go protect Gotham.
You have homework."
Yeah, it was totally like a daddy moment. He's like, "Robin, go to your room." It's like, but I want a crime fight, Batman. It's like, Robin, this is for the big boys. Joker's nothing to fuck with. Okay,
he
Batman,
did,
later.
He did kill Robin once. Can't have him do it again.
But yeah, that was my week, just playing a lot of games.
Cool. All right. Well, let's get on this.
Yes.
So yeah, Pontypool. I've been interested in seeing this. Like, I never would have thought that I'd be interested in a movie called Pontypool, because like that title is just so vague. It could mean anything, because
right.
it doesn't mean anything. Like, but then I found out what it was about, and it seemed like right up my alley, because I love zombie movies, and I love movies about the media and like television, radio, and stuff like that, and this is both at once.
This is Radio 660, The Beacon. I'm Grant Mazzie, and as always, I'll be taking no prisoners. And taking a look outside, a big, cold, freaking kill-me-now weather front that'll last all day. We go to Kenlony in the Sunshine Chopper. Ken. Ken? Are you there, Ken?
This building has just been exploded! Oh, my God! Hundreds of people are getting killed down there!
This film stars Grant Massey, who is a radio shock jock who recently got fired for being too controversial. They don't really say what exactly he said, but
that's
it was something
that...
That's
what they hire them for, though.
Yeah, but yeah. Then, you know, they turn around and it's like, well, we don't want you saying that. So everyone's, like, playing these shell games, trying to figure out, like, what they can and can't say, and a lot of people end up getting fired and shit. That's why Howard Stern fled to space.
Right. You know? can we, for, like, just, like, a quick little experiment, just do our own shock jock voices for the show? Give me your best...
Oh, I'm on the spotlight now.
I'll do it. Hey, everybody, it's the douche. You know what I mean? Like that's from Parks and I think from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah.
There's a shock jock called the douche. She's like, "Here's the douche." Yep.
Welcome to Forrest Midnight Madness. First story: I'm not wearing pants.
you gotta get
the raspy voice.
Yeah, that's what, like I was thinking more of like that. like in a movie, if it ever cuts to like the guy who's behind the mic and you only see his mouth next to the microphone where he's, you know,
it's
like
hey, everybody. So, up next, we got a couple of...
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. A
couple of, I don't know, whatever my name is, Rockin' Ricky fans here in the studio.
Rockin' Ricky? What's Harvin's fiancé doing here?
They always have that voice that sounds like they've been smoking cigarettes since they were 5 years old. Yeah.
And like whenever one person laughs, they all laugh, even though it's not funny.
Make it funny.
It's like, it almost sounds like it's canned laughter, too. Like, they have the recording probably because they don't want to actually laugh. Yeah. So they just put their own, like, we're just going to record ourselves laughing a couple times. So that way when like we say something funny and just fucking play
like,
it.
Even listening to Bob and Tom sometimes, I think, like, they like, record all that stuff, but secretly, like, in the studio, they have, like, the God Kill Me expression on their face while they're pressing the laugh buttons.
Right. I absolutely picture that 100% of the time. Whenever I listen to any like morning talk radio, it's exactly what I picture. I'm like, those guys probably hate their fucking lives.
How the fuck could you be so happy and chipper? You just woke up. In fact, those people on the radio woke up before I did, and I'm pissed just listening to them.
those morning news people, they're all coffee addicts. Like, I can't believe that I never, like, switched to coffee like extreme because I did the morning stuff for like 2 years and I just hate coffee so much that I never got hooked on it. Like,
amphetamines.
That.
So, Forrest, you're here on Slaughter Film talking about what movie again?
I'm talking about Pontypool.
There we go.
I can't do that voice all the whole time though. So
I'll try and see how long I can do it for.
But yeah, anyway, Grant Massey has recently been fired from like his big city like radio job or whatever, and now he's got the only job that he can do. He's doing a morning radio show in the small town of Pontypool, Ontario. That's where the name comes from. He just does various like, you know, traffic reports, weather reports, the morning sports, and like all the typical bullshit that like morning radio does. And he keeps trying to throw in a little bit of his like controversial shtick. Like, he's doing a thing talking about like people growing weed in their backyards and shit like that. And his producer is always there like trying to keep him in line. And that's pretty much the story. Like, he's doing his news report and she's trying to keep him in line. He's always getting reports from this guy named Ken, who's like their Arnie Pie, Arnie in the Sky guy. He's doing like a chopper traffic report. And the town's so small, we find out that he doesn't even have a chopper. He just, like, drives in his Buick and, like, goes up to the top of a hill and looks down and does his, like, chopper report.
I like it.
Yeah.
Does he have, like, a little, like, helicopter sound
effect? Yeah, he uses sound effects and shit.
Perfect.
But as the day goes on, they start to get bizarre reports of a... some doctor's, like, office or whatever has been stormed by a bunch of, like, a big mob of people. And, like, Ken, the traffic guy, is doing his report and all of a sudden one of the walls collapses and like a big group of people come rushing out and then the mic cuts off right there. And we're like, what the hell's that? And then it's just like, Grant Massey, his producer, who I forget her name at the time being, so someone will have to fill me in with what her name is. I can't remember. And, his like technical director, whose name is Laura Lee, they're the only people there in the morning. So they're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And then all of a sudden they get a call from the BBC who wants to, like, interview Grant Massey about the situation happening in Pontypool. And they're like, what situation? But they can't say that because they're news people. They gotta be informed, you know? So he's talking to this BBC reporter saying, like, is it true that these are anti-government demonstrators, that this is a nesting ground for, like, terrorist activity? And he's like, I can assure you there's no terrorist activity going on. They're like, well, then what's going on with these, like, crowds of people, like, storming hospitals and stuff like that? And he's like, to tell you the truth, as of right now, we have no information, but I will keep you informed.
That's funny. It's kind of like one of those Whose Line Is It skits.
Yeah.
Where they have the green screen behind them. They have to, like, pretend.
Well, as the night goes on, or as the morning goes on, I should say, they slowly start to realize that they're right smack dab in the middle of a zombie infestation. They never actually say zombies because that's ridiculous, but it basically is a zombie infestation. Every now and then, Ken comes back. Like, he shielded himself inside, like, some grain silo or whatever, and he's just watching everything happening, and he's reporting back. And basically, like, the zombies, quote-unquote, are all chanting various things. Like, whatever they hear, they all just start chanting it instantly. And they use, like, weird, creepy, like, children's voices to try and, like, lure people in there and shit. It's really fucking weird. But, yeah, as the story goes, they start to find out that these zombies... It's an interesting take on the zombie infestation, but just don't, like, think about it too much because it's really ridiculous. But initially, it's really cool. Apparently, these zombies, the infection is spread through certain words that trigger in the brain. Like, you say a certain word, and that, like, infects your brain. You start, that starts to become the only word that you can say. You just start saying over and over again, and then become a mindless automaton, and then you're a zombie, too, you know?
What's the guy in Batman, where you'd say his name, and he goes away, the Batman villain?
Huh? Rumpelstiltskin?
No! Nah, I thought there was a Batman villain, where if you say his name, he, like, that's how, you have to get him to say his own name, and then he'll...
Oh, Superman. The Mixtoplick or whatever that guy is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. So
it's like saying that word, and all of a sudden, like, I want to eat brains. Yeah.
They're basically like that. They start saying like just one word, and that's when you realize that they're them. So that's the crazy thing about this movie. Like, there's no like bite, there's no like infection. Someone just starts talking weird, and then you know, uh-oh. And once they become this, they have to find like a victim to kill. Otherwise, at a certain point, they'll literally puke their own guts out. Like, there's a scene where one of the people is infected, like, pukes up their own liquefied insides and then dies. Like, so.
Yeah, it does seem, like, overly complicated, but really cool to see happen.
Yeah, it is.
It also sounds like your type of movie.
It is. The fact that it's set in a radio newsroom is so interesting because, like I said, I've worked in, like, morning news. And when you're in the middle of doing a live news show and all of a sudden something like really important happens and you have to be on there like reporting it, but you don't know what the fuck's going on, but you got to give some kind of report. It happened once when I was working there. Right in the middle of our news show, some guy like burned down his house and then was like holding people hostage with a gun or
I remember that.
You remember that story? We were right there in the middle of the news and we had to have a guy in there like telling, like reporting about it, but the cops wouldn't let them leave the supermarket, so he had to stay in there and just like give us reports via the phone. We didn't know what the fuck was going on. It was just fucking crazy. This is a lot like that because on one hand, they want to find more information. On the other hand, they're trying to, like, tell people what's going on, but they don't know what's going on. And then meanwhile, like, they have to do the regular news show. Like, in the beginning of the invasion, all of a sudden in the background, you see some people walking down. And at first, I was like, oh, shit, they're zombies. They're in here. Oh, my God. And then, like, they show up, and, like, everyone just knows who they are. And I was like, oh, this is something else. Turns out they were, like, a Partridge Family-esque, like, traveling group of musicians. But they're all, like, they look like they're all, like, Islamic. Like, one guy is dressed as fucking Osama bin Laden. He's got, like, the beard and the turban and, like, the bullet belt around himself. And, like, he's holding a little toy machine gun. I was like, what the fuck? Are terrorists just attacking, like, right now? You know? But, yeah, they're just some, like, traveling musicians. And at first thought they were, what are they, like, a pro-terrorist group? But then, like, when you see a close-up of them, it's even weirder. There are a bunch of white people that are wearing brown face.
Oh.
It's so fucking bizarre. But then, of course, it gets creepy, because then they sing their song, and then meanwhile, Grant is trying to, like, figure what's going on outside of all this, you know? And then when the song's over, he starts, like, talking to them, and the little girl is just like, I don't feel weird. I don't feel right. I feel... I'm sick. And then, like, this isn't the very beginning of the movie. You're just like, what the fuck was that? You know? And then you meet more and more people, and yeah, they start talking, and all of a sudden they start, like, slurring their speech. Like, Ken, their fake chopper guy, he's still doing reports, and at one point he's like, I'm sure that there is some sort of sample explanation for this. And they're like, you mean simple, right? And he's like, I said a simple with the sample and the simple samples. I'm sorry, but I'm just simple. And then, like,
that's creepy.
Another guy's just like, he's gone. Just hang up the phone. He's done. So,
checks in the mail, Ken.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the whole movie. I mean, it's clearly low budget, but they work with their budget really well. Like, the whole thing just takes place in this newsroom, but as they, like, they try to go upstairs and, like, see what's going on, and they attract some of the zombies, so then all of a sudden they're all, like, pounding on the walls, and someone says something, and then all the zombies outside start repeating the exact same thing, you know? It's creepy as shit. This movie is scary, almost to the point of, like, unbearably scary, just 'cause, you know as much as they know. And you're trying to figure shit out, but you're just in this little newsroom with no windows anywhere, and you're just trapped in there. And, like, near the halfway point of the movie, I could literally, like, hear my own heart beating because I didn't know what the fuck was going on. It doesn't hold that tension, though. And that's the butt that I was talking about. I said it's a good movie, but... Because once they try to explain what the zombies are, and worse, when they try to find out how to, like, cure it, then it gets kind of dumb. Like, they figure since they... Since the infection spreads using words, they're going to try to use words to, like, get back at them, you know? Like, they like, take the words and try to, like, do an opposite meaning for them. So, like, if someone starts saying kill over and over again, try and get them to say kiss instead, and then they'll get confused, and then, like, the infection won't go. And I was like, now, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And then I started thinking about it more, and then I was like, no, just keep to the regular stuff, because that was way better. When I think about it, then it starts to get dumb. The ending, I don't want to give anything away because it's a fairly new movie and I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen it yet, but the ending is kind of a letdown. And I've heard that this director, I can't remember what his name is right now, but I've heard, like, some of his other movies, he makes really, like, nonsensical endings that just sort of, like, ruin everything. But but the first half of that movie is almost, like, perfect filmmaking. And anything that takes place in that newsroom, which is Grant at the radio... It is so fucking tense, and I recommend it just completely just for that stuff.
Well, now I have to watch it.
Yeah.
So it's basically like Signs all over again.
It is, yeah. It reminds me of like any zombie movie, like any like apocalyptic movie. My favorite thing is when they're all like huddled together and they're watching TV or listening to the radio or something, because it's like some signal that there's other people out there, and there's always that scene when they try to turn on this TV and it's all static or all like, you know, please stand by graphics, and that's when you know... Oh shit, we're totally on our own now. You know, that one output to the rest of the world is just gone. And this movie is like that from the other side, you know?
Right.
It reminded me of an election year.
Oh,
the way like they would hear stuff and they just fucking keep repeating it.
there's something going on, but I don't know. Just the whole idea of like sloganeering and stuff like that, you know, just like people hear. They talk about how like words don't have the same meanings anymore. Or whatever. So there's like something going on, but I don't know what. I just was watching it for scary zombie stuff, and I got that, so I was happy, you know. But I'm sure there is some sort of message in there, you know.
While you were talking about it, I just kind of daydreamed that it all got started in some like. Weird little magic club, and some magician like hypnotized one person, but he accidentally hypnotized the audience.
Oh,
so
no!
Now they have trigger words. That's how it all got started.
Well, that's
some
thing.
Hack magician.
Thank fuck that it happened in Canada and not here, because then they learned that it only responds to like English phrases. So they all start speaking French to each other, like, near the end. I'm like, man, if
that
happened here,
we
don't speak them commie languages. You know? Like, there's a scene, like, early on where
French is a commie language?
Well, it is in America.
Oh, okay.
Our fries are deep fried and freedom.
That's right. But there's a scene early in the movie where all of a sudden their broadcast just gets cut in by some, like, announcer just speaking something in French. And he asks Lorelai to translate it for him so he can read it on the air. And it's just various, you know, the city is quarantined, stay inside, you know, there's a curfew in advance. Then so I'm talking about, like, we think that they spread via words, via language. And at the very end, it's like, for safety's sake, please do not translate this broadcast into English. And then he's like, oh. And I'm just like, at first,
didn't
I'm
you
like,
put that first?
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit. Then I'm like, why the fuck didn't they say that first?
I think it would be cool, too, if maybe, like, someone else made a film that had a similar theme, but the trigger words were words that were important to the individual.
Yeah, do kind of imply that, like, there's something about, like, the war that just, like, gets stuck in the person's brain, and that's how the infection comes in, but they don't really, like, delve into it very much, you know? But, yeah, it's cool. The guy who played Grant Massey, I can't remember what his name is, like, he looked familiar, like, I've seen him before, but he... looks like a radio type of person.
Yeah.
Like he's that weathered like older guy who wears the big black cowboy hat, and he's got that like
Don Imus hat.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Don Imus actually, and he's got that that booming baritone voice that's like kind of, it's so smooth, it just rolls, you know? Like it's one of those voices where it's like, I could listen to this guy all day, you know? So there's not a lot to say, because like I said, it's low budget, and they keep to like one location. But
what's the running length on it?
Like an hour and 35 minutes.
Okay,
so,
that's
yeah.
not bad.
Like, if it went any longer, then yeah, they'd have to explain more and more what's going on, and then it would have just ruined it totally. Monsters are always more interesting when they're mysterious. So, like I said, the first half, damn near perfect. After that, it starts to go a little downhill. But it's still tense as shit.
All right.
So
that's, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, totally. Like, I've wanted to check it out for a long time, but I was like, Pontypool, what the fuck does that mean? You know?
Right.
So never judge a movie by its weird title.
Very well.
All right.
So I guess it's my turn here.
I think so.
I'm going to be talking about the 1976 version of Carrie.
It's the night of the senior prom. The Bates High School gym is alive with excitement. Everybody is there, even Carrie White, the girl no one likes.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
And everyone makes fun of her.
Pray, Carrie! Pray, Carrie!
The girl who lives in that creepy house with her crazy mother.
See the sin of her days and ways. Show her that if she had remained sinless, the curse of blood would never have come on her.
The girl with the strange power.
If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things.
But tonight, no one will laugh at Carrie.
If you don't have a date for the prom next Friday, would you like to go with me?
She's with the best-looking boy in the senior class.
He's trying to trick me again.
She'll be voted queen of the prom.
You know, I can make sure that you don't hurt Carrie White anymore.
For Carrie, it will be a dream come true.
The original? Carrie is one of those quintessential 70s horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, looking back, it's not super scary or anything. Or, you know, a lot of more modern horror conventions aren't in it.
Yeah.
but still, it's definitely one of the classics. It was written by Lawrence Cohen, of course, you know, based on the Stephen King novel.
Right.
But Cohen seems to have done a lot of Stephen King's adaptations. He did It and Tommyknockers, and he did a whole bunch of episodes for the miniseries Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
Oh, cool.
It seems like he just like hands his books over to Cohen.
To this guy.
Yeah, make a script out of it. It was directed by Brian De Palma,
mm-hmm.
who did Sisters and Scarface and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this movie was made because Larry Cohen heard about the book. The book was really popular, and he, like, sought it out and read it, and he's like, oh, yeah, this definitely needs to be a movie, and then he just started writing the script right from there.
Wow.
it's actually, like I mentioned, it's a classic horror movie. Like, Stephen King is obviously a super popular author. This Carrie was the book that kind of like broke him into, I don't know, that sort of like stardom,
yeah.
that popularity.
Right.
But then the movie really like continued it and you know.
Right.
But it also did the same for Brian De Palma. And even this is John Travolta's first film.
Oh my God.
Yeah. First is his film debut.
Yeah.
So it's not only, you know, is it revered as a classic, but it has mm-hmm. like longevity. So many people got like careers because of it.
Yeah.
Of course, there was the 90s sequel Rage,
right.
and then the made for TV adaptation, and then in 1988 there was a Broadway musical. Actually, I think there's a group doing it now again too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I love Broadway. Like, their creativity is now just like take popular movies and make them into musicals.
Yeah. Or the other way around, like with Rock of Ages and shit.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
true.
And of course it's gonna be a remade this later this year, so it didn't need to be
remade. It didn't. But,
yeah. If they can remake Jennifer's Body, I think they can redo Carrie.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
So, our story begins with 17-year-old Carrie White, played by Sissy Spacek. Carrie's one of those poor, unfortunate sons of bitches that no matter what they do, they're always seen as sort of like the weird person. You know, like she doesn't have many friends, people don't talk to her, and she's always like the butt of a joke and stuff like that. She just can't catch a break. Everywhere she goes, she's like taunted at school and stuff, and things aren't any different when she goes home because her mother's nut job. She's like super religious fanatic who, you know, constantly preaches to poor Carrie that she's a sinner and that she's bad. A lot of it, too, it's kind of weird. It's like because she's a woman.
Yeah. There's which, a lot of that in there. Yeah.
I'll touch on that a little bit more. She even goes as far as to lock her in a closet. It's like some weird prayer closet with like a big Jesus on a cross and
the
candles.
The creepiest
and...
Jesus I've ever seen,
yeah,
by the way.
His eyes like glow in the dark.
They freak me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Wait, your Jesus's eyes don't glow in the dark?
No, I don't have glow in the dark Jesus eyes, sorry.
Well, I mean, you don't, but I'm saying well, my, the Jesus no, that I'm, I had.
Uh-oh. I keep my Jesus eyes on a bookshelf. Anyway, the plot really starts to pick up in a scene where Carrie is being relentlessly taunted and ridiculed by her other female classmates when she makes a discovery that, you know, they're in the showers of Norman Bates High School, which it wasn't Bates High School for a reason.
Oh, it was actually called Bates High School?
Yeah, it was like a nod
to
Psycho.
Oh, wow, I don't remember that.
So she's in the shower. And she realizes she's taken the final step of adolescence and has become a woman.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because there in the shower, she gets her period for the first time. And aww, she sees blood and starts, like, screaming, like, oh, my God, you got to help me. I'm dying or something. I don't fucking... And, of course, this is, like, ridiculous to all the other girls.
Yeah.
So they start throwing tampons at her and start shouting, plug it up. Which would be kind of, like, terribly funny if it weren't for the fact that... You feel bad for this girl because right, she genuinely doesn't know because she's so sheltered by her crazy mother.
Yeah. Right. You could see this in, like, National Lampoon's Van Wilder or right, or in this movie.
Yeah. And so, like you can't help but, like, right, oh. And then she gets home because they send her home early just to, you know, let's put this behind us. Right. And then her mother gives her a hard time. Yep. Like, somehow she did something wrong.
Well, you're growing up, so now you're a horrible, terrible person right, that God wants to smite.
You know, once the blood comes, all the boys start sniffing around. And, yeah, you know, right, it's like, fuck, poor Carrie White.
Yeah.
Well, the girls who made fun of Carrie are sentenced to a week's detention with the school's PE teacher, and that's like this whole thing because the PE teacher walked in on all the girls making fun of Carrie, and so now it's like her personal job mission to like make these girls suffer.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While all this is happening, there's like a rift between the girls. There are like, I don't know, 8 or 10, 12 girls that are, you know, in this group that are being punished. And a rift sort of starts to grow between them. We have Sue Snell. She starts to feel bad about how they've treated Carrie all this time and asks her boyfriend Tom to ask Carrie to go with her to the prom. It's sort of like a, you know, olive branch, you know, type of, I don't know, just be nice to her for once. Bring her right, into the fold yeah, a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, while that's happening, we have this other girl. She's kind of like the queen bee of the group.
Yeah.
Chris Hargensen. And she played, the woman who played Chris ended up being RoboCop's sidekick.
Oh, that's right, Nancy Allen.
There are
yeah,
a lot of, like PJ Souls is one of the
yeah,
girls. There are a
uh-huh,
lot of recognizable faces.
Right.
So, she's terrible, this Chris. she feels that, you know, them getting in trouble for how they treated Carrie is somehow Carrie's fault. Like, yeah. I don't, like, that it doesn't is, make any sense.
Yeah.
But, like, I could see that happening in the real world.
Right, yeah.
So... she seduces this guy, Billy Nolan, played by John Travolta, into helping her devise this prank. It's like, it's one of those, like, I mean, later you see it in the movie and it seems kind of simple, but like there's so much planning that they put into this. It's one of those epic,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, smell my flower and it squirts you with water. Like,
no,
there's
like,
steps to this.
Right, Ashton Kutcher will jump out at the end and be like, gotcha, bitch, punk. You're on MTV's Punk, gotcha, Carrie.
And then it'll be like, where'd I park my car?
Right.
Yeah, dude, exactly. Dude, where's my car?
Dude, where? I thought you had my car.
Oh, no.
So they're plotting and planning about a prank.
An epic prank.
Yes.
Hey, guys, Carrie's going to get an epic prank in this movie.
Carrie, now having been asked to the prom by Tom, is trying to convince her mother that, you know, she should be allowed to go. Because, you know, not everyone's bad, not everyone's a sinner. You know, a lot of people go to prom, and that's just, you know, they dance and they have fun and they're social. People are starting to think I'm weird, Mom. Can I go? Naturally, the mother is like, nuh-uh. And tempers flare. All through this part of the film, whenever Carrie's emotions build, they sort of erupt in telekinetic episodes where ashtrays flip over, light bulbs explode, and windows slam shut, stuff like that. Even later in one of the more heated arguments, Carrie, with her mind, pushes her mother down on a bed.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, bitch. You just lay there and think about it. I'm going to prom. I got me a man now.
Nice.
Naturally, Carrie notices these weird things that are happening whenever she gets stressed. And so she's feeling like self-conscious about it, and she wants to learn more. She wants to understand. So, like any fucking nerd in a horror movie with a problem,
goes to the library.
They go to the library. She goes to the school library.
Hey, we need to get a little bell or something that you tap every time someone goes to a library in a horror movie, because seriously, now I have to go back and listen to the episode.
We mentioned it a couple times.
No, like at least five times, I think, that problems have been solved via libraries. I know in the one
knowledge
movie,
is power.
I know in the one movie that I did, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah,
that they went to the library.
So she takes out a few books about, like, I don't know, supernatural and telekinesis, and she learns a little bit about her ability.
Thanks, government. Public library.
So now we fast forward to prom night, and even though Carrie and Tom are, you know, attracting dirty looks and snickers, and people are kind of like joking about them and stuff. Ooh, Carrie White. whatever girls say. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fuck it up. Remember that? Remember when we said that to you? We threw tampons at you. That was great, right?
So all while that's happening, Carrie and Tom are actually getting along. They're having a pretty nice time. It even seems, as things continue, that Tom even starts to, like, have some feelings for Carrie, you know? She's not so weird. She just doesn't know any better.
Right,
you know?
Travolta's pretty dreamy. Let's be real for a moment. Come on, Sandy!
Well, just when things couldn't get any better for our little Carrie White, They vote for prom king and queen.
Uh-oh.
And wouldn't you know that the two win? The two win. She went from, like, in the
zero
gutter, being peed on by hobos, and now she's
a hero.
Queen of the fucking prom.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
That's how it ends. It ends wonderfully.
Yeah, there's nothing at all weird about
great
it.
And okay.
What about that prank you mentioned?
Oh, wait, yeah. I forgot for a second, this is a horror movie, and this is all building to something.
I could dream for a minute and think that was where the movie ended, but no.
Let's get to the good stuff. So the two prom king and queen are on stage. They're being crowned and accepting flowers like they just won the Kentucky Derby or something. And
horses win the Kentucky Derby.
So they're going to do their little dance on stage because, you know, the prom king, queen for, I don't know why we have these social things, but
know,
so they're going to dance alone and we're all going to watch
them. We have these social things.
Well, the two, especially like
someone's
a couple,
never been kissed. That's what
especially like a couple like this, they came together, they've been dancing all night, but now we're just going to stop what we're doing and watch it. Like, anyway. Yeah. So as they're about to, like, embrace and dance, set to slow motion and whatever movies do, both Chris and Billy are hiding underneath the stage.
Oh, boy.
And you see them pull a rope, spilling a bucket of blood that's, like, up in the rafters.
Is it actual blood?
It's pig's blood.
Oh.
There's this whole thing where they go to, like, a farm and
kill
pigs.
Kill a pig, yeah, and drain
its blood.
Even though
I bet a butcher would have been like, you kids are weird, but okay. To actually go and kill pigs and stuff. The blood falls right on Carrie. The bucket actually falls, hits Tom in the head.
Yeah,
he falls,
knocks him out. Yep.
And Carrie snaps.
Oh, yeah.
She starts, like, flipping tables, throwing people around.
Using her psychic superpowers.
Yeah. She uses her mind to pretty much lock everyone in the school and set it on fire.
Yep.
And there she is, like, walking down the road covered in blood, all, like,
fire
in a trance.
All around her. Yeah, it's pretty badass.
It is. It's kind of a shame that, like, because it is a scary movie, but it's really only like in that part.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really impressive and crazy. She's
the rest
got all
of it's
power.
Like it's like a coming of age like teen movie until like the end. That just pulls a fast one on you. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's in a way is like one of its shortcomings. But at the same time, I don't know how you could have done it any different and still had that story. You know,
I love it. I love that slow build up to the horror. You know, I think that works really good.
Right. I mean, I think it makes it a weaker horror movie, but
a better movie.
Yeah, but
a better
movie. Like if you changed it at all, it wouldn't necessarily be as you know.
That's kind of what I'm nervous about with the remake. I'm afraid they might blow it too early with the whole like psychic ability.
I hope
stuff
and go too slasher heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope it's in like the 70s or 80s too. I hope it's because I couldn't really tell much from the trailer I saw. The teaser.
Right.
So, I mean, that you pretty much see, like, part of the town on fire while it's being voiceovered and stuff. But I want to see... I don't want to see cell phones.
That's
true. I don't
want
to see them dancing to, like,
you don't
want hip-hop music.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like, the older movie is, like, so... It's like
girls
so
be getting down to the thong song.
And plus,
on.
Nowadays, like, it worked in the 70s because bullies just sort of like ran rampant. Like nowadays, like it's notoriously bad for bullies. Like there's the whole like it gets better program and everything like that. You know, like so. I think it would only work best in the 70s. Yeah,
I think too. I just get a kick out of period pieces that are set just a couple decades in the past.
That's true.
But also, it's a slasher movie, a modern one. Well, they're in the woods, so now you have to explain that
why
the fucking
cell
phones don't
work.
Yeah,
there's always that scene.
It seems like all that shit's just shoehorned in. Let's just get rid of it and have a fucking simple story. You know?
That's why.
Yeah, but anyway. But we have a little bit left here in this
Yes,
movie.
We do.
So Carrie returns home to have a final confrontation.
Burns down the entire
with her mother.
Like, auditorium with all the students in it.
But I think barbecue was on the menu. Anyway, so she heads home to have a final confrontation with her mother, which results in the telekinetic stabbing and crucifixion of her mom, which is kind of weird, but you see the Jesus in the beginning, and then the mother dies in like the same exact pose. That's something that I don't – it doesn't translate to me.
I don't know.
Like, I see that it's the same, and they did that for a reason, but I don't know what the meaning is supposed to be.
I just know that crucifix statue freaks me out, so then that also freaked me out.
No, I think stuff like that, that's just, like, good storytelling. It's just, like, pulling things back, like, pulling small snippets from the beginning and, like, having them tie, like, ends together. Because it always sucks when they have, like, those scenes. So, like, imagine if you'd see that scene of the creepy crucifix.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
It would just sort of be there, just to creep you out.
And it would be really weird, but now at the end that she does the same thing to her mother, you're like, okay, because that thing probably fucking traumatized
the
fuck out.
That's what I was thinking, like, because she was, the mother was like the Jesus freak, okay, Jesus died for being Jesus.
Yeah.
Now her mother has all these ideas and stuff, and that's, I guess, why she died in a way.
I don't think it's more like that. I think it's more like Carrie like has seen that. Like that's an image that is burned in her mind.
Yeah,
so,
the religion came back to bite her mother via Carrie's telekinetic trip.
Right. Just like her trauma from seeing that gross fucking crucifix.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Well, after her mother dies, the house slowly burns and actually like sinks into the ground. Forming a tomb for the two, and that's pretty much the ending. Mm-hmm. The only thing that didn't translate from the book, I guess, was the way they die and the house like crumbles apart. Carrie's mind powers were supposed to somehow have like a rain of rocks, stones like broke apart the house and just like smashed it, I guess.
Huh.
They actually were planning to do this in the movie, and if you watch close, the parts where the house is falling apart and Carrie's in it, there's like plaster from the ceiling and rocks coming through.
Oh.
But they didn't shoot the outside stuff because when they had some elevator thing drop rocks on the outside, but it looked like rain and it looked just dumb and it didn't look good. So they just left it out at the last minute because they were filming at night. Like, the sun was starting to come up, and they were going to lose their shot, so Brian De Palma's just like, just burn it. Just set it on fire.
Perfect.
But in all the chaos, you don't really notice that, you know. It does have one of the coolest twist endings. It has been parodied.
Oh, man.
Like countless times.
This has got to be like the first jump cut, like the first jump scare in movie history.
And again, I don't really know what the hell it means, but
just that the one survivor of the whole incident is traumatized
There's
for
a
life.
Sole survivor, Sue, the girl who got her boyfriend to take Carrie out.
Yeah.
She's a soul survivor, and she has a nightmare that she's putting flowers on Carrie's grave, and then the hand comes up out of the earth and grabs her.
That made me jump like 50 feet in the air when I first saw it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I felt so bad for like her. Do you remember her gravestone?
Yeah.
It's just the for sale sign written on it, just says Carrie White, burn in hell.
Yeah.
I felt, because like the whole time you feel so bad for Carrie, but then she becomes this like, you know,
monster,
like, yeah, this demonic monster that everyone hates. So it's like, no.
I'm actually surprised that it took so long for there to be a sequel, because you can kind of do a lot with the telekinetic thing. Now that she's dead, she could be like some weird ghost thing or whatever. I actually would like to see a movie where she doesn't die, because, okay, maybe after the school burns down, she doesn't go home, but she's just like, I just did a bunch of really crazy shit. I got to get out of here. And so now she's doing like the kung fu thing where she's like traveling America. You know, maybe she's working in a diner.
Running around,
and she's
meeting people, getting adventures.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to develop her powers to better control them while also trying to lay low. But naturally, something would happen where she meets a guy and he has a pass too. And then, you know, he owes the mob money.
It's
and
Christian
they come.
Slater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they come to collect, you know, and she's like, oh no, I have to use my powers to stop these mobsters or something. That's what the sequel would have been bad. But
I want the sequel where it's basically Breakfast Club.
So
she's Molly Ringwald's character.
Oh, see, I would imagine her being the other girl.
No. That's what you would think, right? But like, since she did the first thing, she knows how to like mimic, right? And she's got really good at just pretending to be popular and cool, but secretly she's like all still fucked up inside.
She has to be cool, otherwise people might, you know.
Right. So in that scene where she's like hanging out with like the bad boy and they're like smoking cigarettes, that's when she just fucking makes this body explode.
Snaps his neck.
Your idea sounds a lot like the Incredible Hulk TV show.
It kind of is.
Carrie White's not really dead, but she must convince the world she is until she can control the raging spirit that dwells within. Dun, 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 dun.
See, all the shit I set up until the point where she has a boyfriend, like, that's kind of interesting. And then, because people in her town are going to look for her.
Yeah.
And her mother would have some crazy explanation that she was the devil or, you know, what I mean? Like, God knows what. I don't know. I'm sure there's some fan fiction out there.
Oh, well, there's fan fiction for everything.
Right. I'm sure there's furry fan fiction for this.
No. I mean, there probably is, but no.
How do you make the word furry and carry, how do you combine the words without just having furry?
Fairy?
That's what I wanted to do. Fairy?
Fun trivia about that movie. Did you know that they were casting at the same time they were casting Star Wars? And they did they did dual casting. So everyone that auditioned for Carrie had to audition for Star Wars and vice versa.
That is wild.
Yeah, so Carrie
could have had Luke as like...
Yeah. Like
John Travolta could have been Luke.
No, John Travolta actually auditioned for Han Solo.
Yeah, I can see it.
And Sissy Spacek auditioned for Princess Leia, and Carrie Fisher auditioned to be Carrie. You know.
Well, I think everything worked out the way it should have.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting story.
I think Carrie Fisher could have done Carrie.
Yeah, I think
so. She looks like a crazy woman.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I guess the only other thing that I could throw out there is Brian De Palma, at least in his earlier career, he liked to experiment with like split screens and different camera lenses and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And in this film, there's a couple scenes where he used some trick lens so that you could focus on someone in the foreground and in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's a scene where Tom's sitting there in class and a teacher's talking to him, and there's like the left side of the screen is close upon his face, but then the right side is Carrie in the background like listening, overhearing.
Yeah.
But it's like... It looks really cool because you can incorporate both things. What some of the camera work that he did that didn't work so well was later when she's in the at prom flipping out.
Yeah,
because it's split screen and you see Carrie's face and she'll like turn and look at something, and the other side you see a
what
door slam shut.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And the reason to me why it doesn't work so well is because you lose some of the drama. Because you have to like look at one or the other rather than being told she turns her head and then the door shuts. Mm-hmm. It's like all simultaneous, and if you happen to not be looking where you need to be, you could miss something.
That's almost my problem with De Palma a lot of times, because he's a great technical filmmaker, but sometimes it's like too much. Like, it's almost like here's everything I learned in film school all in one movie. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it does not work at all. So, yeah. Anything else?
Not on that.
All right. This is kind of a grab bag episode. We didn't really do any kind of theme. This time around. No. You know?
Well, I think a lot of times when we do have a theme, it's sort of spontaneous anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
What move are you doing? I don't know. Well, I was doing this. Huh,
okay,
that's
well,
a good
I'll do
idea.
This. Yeah. We are very professional here at Slaughterfield.
I guess I should move on to a few comments.
Okay, yeah, I haven't heard these comments yet, so this will be new to me, too.
Matthew Stewart, who we haven't heard from in a little while,
yeah.
He said, I always like thinking of Wes Craven's Vampire in Brooklyn as the spiritual second sequel to Blackula. Yeah, I kind of think the same thing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, is it racist for me to say...
Yes. If you have to start your sentence with that preface... The answer is yes.
Every black Dracula reminds me of Blackula.
It's totally racist.
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but
no,
it
I
follows
know, yeah.
that theme
yeah.
so
it was also like Blackula was the first, I mean, correct? Like
That's
there was
true,
no
yeah.
other
yep.
Yeah, as far as I can
as
I know.
As far as I know, yeah.
So, I'm sure it's on some level every new like revision of that is looking to that movie for some pointers or
yeah,
for
I'm
some
sure.
ideas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, same thing with all Dracula movies. They all kind of go, they all take things from like its predecessors.
Yeah.
No Bella one's trying to reinvent Dracula completely
right,
because
right.
everyone would be like, what the fuck is this shit?
Right.
That's not how I remember Dracula.
Right. Precisely.
Well, yeah, it seems like they took a lot of, like the same idea, but made it not so goofy.
Right. And lowered the blaxploitation side of it slightly.
Yeah. He also says, now that March and St. Patrick's Day are getting close, maybe it's time for some hot leprechaun action. Which, yeah, we've talked about doing leprechaun,
yeah.
but maybe we should get off our asses and do
I would love to review all the like horror movies that go into space. Just like a big like
just
grab
because.
Bag of like space because like so many of them do and I don't know why like is space such a
it's
like,
the final frontier
guess,
Forrest
yeah.
come on
but yeah
which is usually also the final countdown for the franchise
right
but yeah I would love to review Leprechaun 4 in space just because
yeah.
it's so goddamn
I
ridiculous.
I have one condition for you guys to review Leprechaun movies. You must drink at least one Shamrock Shake while
oh,
watching
yeah.
it.
Okay, I love Shamrock Shakes.
All right,
I was gonna say green beer, but all right.
Yeah.
No, nope. Shamrock Shakes. We're in America here.
Okay. Yeah.
We want our calories and we want our milk.
Can I mix beer in it?
I wouldn't recommend that, but if
yeah.
you want to.
All right. Diabetes, no time. Our other comment is from Gex. This was referring to High School of the Dead. We talked about that
yeah.
for like a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I just mentioned it like off the cuff, right.
He said it's got one of the most over the top. It's one of the most over the top hilarious shows he's ever seen.
It is. It's totally over the top.
And he says whether it's intentional or not, it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. If you guys haven't watched it, it's on Watch It Now, and it is a totally over the top anime, and it follows like all of the anime tropes that you remember from like the things we watched growing up. You know, you guys remember stuff from like Excel Saga and all that stuff.
I love
and, like,
Excel Saga. Yeah.
Yes, it's not as hyper as that, but
okay.
There are those caricatures,
right.
and it's just fucking ridiculous. And it's zombies.
Yeah,
so.
Cool.
Yeah, I first heard about this a couple years ago, and the guy I was talking to at my local comic book shop was like, yeah, check it out. There's probably something on YouTube. But there really wasn't yet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, there was a clip, but I'm like, that it wasn't like a good clip. But he, Gex left us a link to a YouTube clip. It's like part of an episode. And... yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, there's
boobs,
a shootout. They're, like,
yeah.
shooting zombies as they're, like, the zombies are approaching them. And this other girl who's, well, it's anime, so she's doing, like, the
katana stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because there's one girl with a katana. Yeah, of course, because it's anime,
right,
guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so...
we're talking about Japanese animation. There is a female, like...
to be, yeah.
Katana-wielding...
they're all in skirts.
...cast member. Yeah, they're all in schoolgirl outfits.
So this
yes.
guy's, like,
yes.
shooting at the zombies while she's doing flippies. And
yep, uh-huh.
you see bullet time.
Yep.
The bullet is coming at the screen, and her breasts
yep.
maneuver
yep.
around
I remember
the bullet.
This.
Yeah, I'm like,
yep.
what the fuck
yeah.
did I just
yeah, like, yeah, her boobs, like, do little, like, one of these with my hands, and the bullet just, like, whoosh, right through.
That sounds
like
amazing.
A needle sewing thread.
Right. No, and, like, I'm just saying, it's, like, that level of, like, big, dumb, like, what yeah. in the fuck am I watching? And this is incredible at the same time. Like, this is, like... simultaneously the dumbest thing I've ever seen and probably the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And actually, if my wife walked in on me, I'd feel really awkward right now. It's like all of those things at once. It's kind of like how
when there's really no explaining that to like a parental female type character.
No, not at all.
What are you watching?
Anime.
I'm watching anime.
There's zombies in it. Yeah, I saw you watching the zombies.
It's like the same thing with like Spartacus. I don't know if you guys have watched any Spartacus, but it's just,
I haven't, but I want to bad.
It's the same thing. You're just like, I can't explain what I like about that show because it's not great, but I love that show. It's really dumb, and there's a lot of sex scenes and a lot of fight scenes. It's like gore porn and sex porn
all at the same time
mixed together.
Wow.
And they all have British accents because they're in Rome.
Because any period piece, everyone spoke with a British accent for some reason.
I wonder if they got their Roman and Greek gods mixed up.
Who knows?
Oh, no, it's not Hercules in New York.
Then Samson shows up. Okay, wait a minute.
Hold the phone. That's my favorite part.
Maybe I'll review Hercules in New York.
That's not horror.
I know, but still.
It would be good. So yeah, next week we were talking about doing a voodoo theme.
Yes, I'm going to try and find Angel Heart. I know you said you don't have
it. I thought I did, but I don't.
I think it's on Netflix.
It probably is. Or even YouTube. I'm sure it's, you know,
right.
You should be able to find it. We can rent it if worse comes to worse.
Actually, I have a question for you guys. Have either of you watched American Horror Story?
No, not
the first
yet.
Season. The first I haven't season? Watched any of the second yet.
So, I mean, is that good? I mean, is that something that you guys could talk about on here? Is that something that's worthwhile talking
about
here?
Yeah, I could. The show...
I mean, not right now, but I'm just saying on a future episode.
I know, but, like, just to throw it out there, it's kind of like a weird mix of all the horror stuff that I like, but, like, all the stories are intertwined in this weird soap opera, and that's kind of what I don't like, but at the same time, it's like a car wreck. I can't... Not watch it.
It's just like Spartacus.
I know. It's like the best TV. It's like there's things about this movie, the show, that I don't like at all, but I'm gonna keep watching.
But yeah, I should jump on that. I also feel compelled to get caught up on like writing a review or doing something for Walking Dead.
Yeah,
but.
Dude,
I'll wait till season 3 ends. And then...
Oh my god, this season's so good. Have you started watching the episodes?
I haven't started watching the second half of the season. I got all caught up to that point, and now I'm just like, dum-dum, I'm gonna read a book.
Well, it just started. I'm just gonna say, fucking shit is getting real.
Yeah.
The most real.
Wow.
Everyone who's listening who's watching, they're like, yeah, he's right. I'm just giving them that moment to nod their head in silence and agree with me.
So yeah, Forrest is gonna do Angel Heart, and I'm going to do Serpent in the Rainbow.
Oh yeah, cool.
Which is I always love that title because it doesn't sound like a horror movie, and it also sounds like an Italian's like giallo slasher.
It does,
because they always had stuff like what was it,
the Burn of the Crystal Plumage,
shit like that. Like you know, you hear that title and you're like, what the fuck is that movie? I don't even know. So yeah, that's that.
Cool. All right. Well, be sure to check out slaughterfilm.com. We've got news and reviews and other fun stuff, but mostly news and reviews.
Yes. Make sure to leave any comments or questions either on our website, our YouTube, our Facebook, or you can email us at slaughterfilm@hotmail.com.
Catch you on the flip side.
Burn one.
Good night, everybody. Slaughterfilm's getting out of town.
This edition of Slaughter Film has been brought to you by our producer, John Linvay, introduced by me, Ricky Morrow, and music by Xeno Genocide.